Anybody glad we serve the true God? Let's just worship Him for a moment. Oh God, we've sung to You, but we just lift You up again. We magnify Your name, for You are above all things. You are everlasting. You have no beginning and no end. We honor You, and all we have to give back is a hallelujah, a praise to You, God, for You are awesome. You've given us all that we have. You are everything to us. We thank You, God, for all that You've done for us. In Jesus' name. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians while you're standing, we'll read one verse of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. I'll be reading most of these verses in the New King James Version. And then this one will also hit in another version, the New Heart English Bible. But 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." If you read it in the New Heart English Bible, it says, I'll just read the second half of it. "For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are everlasting." They're everlasting. Today I want to talk to you about everlasting. Lord, I pray that You would anoint the Word. I pray that You'd open up our hearts, so that the seed of Your word can be mixed with faith and You can make a new life that grows within us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. Far too many people in this world don't look past the temporal, past the temporary. The food they drink, the clothes they wear, the gadgets they buy, the jobs they get, the cars they drive, the hobbies they have, the money in their pocket. But we are children of God with our sights on things that are everlasting. In his final year of life in 1931, C.T. Studd wrote this, just a portion of it. It was a whole song, I believe, at least a poem. But he said, "Only one life. It will soon be past. Only what's done for Jesus will last. Only one life, it will soon be past. Only what's done for Jesus will last." So we're setting up some things today to give you a little bit of an idea of the temporal things compared to the everlasting things. There's things that you see and things that you don't see. The things that you see, they wear out. There's moths that end up eating clothes. There's rust that ends up taking away the body of your car, rusts out the bottom. But the things that are everlasting, they will last forever. Only one life, it will soon be past. Only what's done for Jesus will last. What have you done that will last? What have you done for Jesus? Have you loved your neighbor? Have you worked as unto the Lord? Have you given to the poor? Have you obeyed those in authority? Have you strengthened your spirit by rejecting fleshly urges? Have you forgiven those who have hurt you? Have you given God the glory for your salvation? Have you shared your testimony? If you have, then you are investing in something that is everlasting. Because only what's done for Christ will last. The word everlasting, I looked it up in Scripture, and it's found all over the place. So I put down probably not all of the references to everlasting, but listen to these. In Scripture, you'll find there's an everlasting covenant. There are everlasting arms. There's everlasting mercy. There's everlasting remembrance. There is an everlasting kingdom, and there's an everlasting foundation. We have an everlasting Father. There are everlasting burnings. There is an everlasting God. There is everlasting joy. There is everlasting light. There is an everlasting name. We sang that this morning. There is only one name that will last forever, only one name that really matters. There is everlasting love. Lots of this world you'll find love, but it's short, temporary. And then where did it go? Well, there is an everlasting love. You can find it in the Word of God. There is everlasting dominion. There is an everlasting fire. There is an everlasting home that the Lord has made for those that will be redeemed to live in it. And then there is everlasting life. Everlasting, it's an easy definition. It means lasting forever. But forever is hard to describe, hard to comprehend, because the physical things we see are not eternal. Everything we've seen, you can't describe the things you don't see very well. You can feel them, experience them, but they're beyond the tangible. I think of the woman at the well. She had a physical bucket, put it in the well, pulled up some water, was getting a drink, and Jesus comes by, and he says, if you drink that water, you will thirst again. It's physical water. It's feeding a physical body. It gives physical life, but not forever. The well can dry up. The body can shrivel away. The body can age and die. But Jesus said, I have a water where you will not thirst again. It's a well that it never dries up. It's a spiritual well that gives everlasting life, not temporary, but will last for eternity. So let's step beyond the temporary. Let's step beyond the temporary. Realize that we serve an everlasting God who has everlasting qualities and has created a space for everlasting destinations to be determined. When I think of eternity, it's not so much a time as it is a place. Where will you spend eternity? Where will that location be? Think about your lifespan. How would you describe your days on earth? In Psalm 144:4, it says, man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. A breath, a shadow. Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. A breath is breathed in a short moment. It's here, and then it's gone. A passing shadow is like a small cloud that covers the sun for a few minutes, and then it's gone. You know, it arrives quickly, it lasts briefly, and then it leaves as quick as it came. That's what man's life is like. That's what your 60 years, that's what your 90 years are on this earth. Some have had 40, some have had 110, but it is like a breath, and it's like a shadow, and it will be gone quickly. And what we do in that breath, what we do in that shadow, is it leaning this way or is it leaning this way? Is it a breath blowing us this way or this way? A shadow in this direction or in this direction? It's a moment in time. It has some years. We have that time by God's grace, but it is temporary. There's a story I want to share with you all. My family and I vacationed up north, northern Wisconsin. We went to the Apostle Islands and spent some time on the water and did some camping, and it was really cool. And my wife has a friend that was on the way there that I hadn't met before, but it was a God-ordained connection because we had some pretty amazing conversations. Earlier this year, they're a family with, I think, several children, husband and wife, they're married, and he is, he likes his vehicles. He's got a couple snowmobiles, and his daughter was asking him, so this was about 6 months ago, 8 months ago, in January this year, and his daughter was like, Dad, I want to learn how to ride the snowmobile. So he's like, okay, let's make it happen. So he was riding the snowmobile with her, and they were doing some maneuvers. He was training her, showing her how to do it. And then he got the second one out, and so he was leading, and she was following him. So two snowmobiles going down the road, checking it out. And while he's riding, they're going along the roads on the paths the snowmobiles can take, and a car, comes off the road and comes at him, and he jerks the steering wheel, and they miss by inches, and he's thrown off, and he hits his head, and he's knocked unconscious. And he was telling us this story. There were EMTs that came, and they took him to the hospital, and took him a while to get, checked out. He had a serious concussion. And during that time, when you have a concussion, like, all you can do is, take in water and rest. He was a full-time business owner, so he was always busy. And during this time of concussion, he told me that he had like 20 minutes in a day where he was alert, and then he just had to rest. And, God gave him a progressive healing. And the next day, he was alert for 25 minutes, and then he had to rest. And the next day, 30 minutes, and he had to rest, and he was realizing, what can I do in 20 minutes a day? He was used to always be on the phone, answer every message, getting things done, boom, 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 get the business running, keep things flowing. And he's like, I don't think I want to spend that 20 minutes on my phone. He spent his time with his family, and he didn't realize it at the time, but he recognized this was really a gift from God. He knew that for more than one reason. Earlier that year, his daughter was thinking of attending a Bible school, and she was praying about it and felt the Lord say, take some classes from home. So she started taking classes from home, and, for the first year, and this accident happened. And God let her know, this is why I wanted you to be here for your dad and during this time. So if you think about that, this was no accident. This was literally a circumstance that God allowed in his life, a hard moment, but really for a greater good. It was a moment where God, he planned it, and he even shares details of the story where he normally wears a helmet, but he didn't this time. And the way he fell and hit, the EMTs were saying, if you had a helmet, you would have been dead. So the way that he was thrown and tossed and landed, he normally wears a helmet, he didn't. I mean, that wasn't a coincidence. Also, he was wearing a stocking cap, and he stopped to adjust it. And he realized if he hadn't taken that time to stop and then keep going and riding with his daughter, it wouldn't have been him that the car was going to hit. It would have been his daughter. So all of these things is in a story. He was telling me this story with tears in his eyes, and I could just see how God was orchestrating that to show him the value of life and the value of time. And it really hit me to the point where that evening, I had a dream about it. So, this accident reveals the precious and limited time we have on this earth with the people God has put in our lives. And so I had a dream. I feel like it was from the Lord. It all started when time stopped in my dream, and I was taken into the realm beyond time and space. It was like everything paused. There was a tingling in my body that seemed to change my sense of feeling. I realized that some discussions are not worth the time I took for them. My preferences and the details of things that I cared about no longer really mattered. I recognized that the ability to get along with people is what really mattered. My perspective changed. I learned that talking through hurts are a moment of opportunity where God can do a great work. This accident and all the challenges with it, it was really a time for eternity to step in, for God to do a work. This was a realm where the Grim Reaper or the Timekeeper finally caught up in my dream. So when I entered this spiritual realm, it was like looking in a mirror. I had a glimpse of the invisible, where the influence of the evil one was seen. His agenda was exposed. He's the accuser, and I saw him sitting next to me in his lair. So he was somewhat handsome, had dark gray combed hair, but with an evil grin. He compared me, as I was, to who I was intended to be. His goal was to let the clock tick. Let my clock tick. He wants us to let the time continue on as we chase momentary physical distractions. He was like the Joker. He stood with me, my physical self, on the other side of the room from where I was seeing this. It was like my body was left, and I was viewing in the spiritual realm, seeing what was really going on behind just the physical surface. It was as if I was being weighed in the balance. The enemy seemed confident that he would win and have his way with me. In my dream, I expected to return to the land of time. It would be my chance to utilize my time at its maximum. You know, the materialistic things aren't worth expending precious resources. Rather, using resources to serve the purposes of obeying and fulfilling God's mission, that's worth it. This dark chasm, void of time, appeared to show the enemy had won. In this time, there were opportunities that came in the dimension of time that you could see in the spiritual realm nudges us. Oftentimes, we don't recognize that the inclinations and warnings are presented to our spirit. In this realm, I saw them clearly. I wondered if I would ever enter back into that land of time, or if I would stay captive, forced to watch the stories of my squandered life replay before my eyes and watch those that God has put in my life suffer from my inability to see what was most valuable. The thought occurred to me that if I ever come to the land of time, I'll carry the weight of knowing that every moment affects eternity, not only of my own forever destiny, but those around me. What a dream. The value of time. We don't have unlimited time. Tell your neighbor YOLO. Has anyone heard YOLO? What does that mean? You only live once. This statement is true. But it doesn't mean to seek all the possible pleasures the world promises, for they're empty. Rather, give this one life your best shot. You only live one life physically. You only live one life physically. I put some props up here just to show. A lot of us are always engaged in something. You know, this is our temporary sports. Sometimes this is what we drive. This is what we eat. We sleep. We breathe. Sports. It's what we talk about. It's what we focus on. It's where we give our everything. It's where we give our time. You know, sometimes we spend time, a lot of times in the stores. We go and look for the fine things that we want. The nice clothes, the nice purses, the nice possessions that we own. Sometimes this is our focus. And we think if we accomplish these things, we're good to go. We're going to have it. We're finally going to reach what we've been desiring. But they leave you empty, and you cannot bring these with you. You cannot bring these with you. If you try to put them in your casket, they'll still sit there. But there are things that are everlasting. I was thinking of putting a boat up here, or like a car, a nice hot rod. Put a big mansion up here. Well, I don't have them, and they wouldn't fit, so you're stuck with some other items. But a lot of us, I mean, it's like if we would have that place, sure, it would be nicer, but is it worth it? Is it going to consume more of your time or give you what you need to do what you were placed on this earth for? So I want us to start thinking about what is everlasting. If you think about it, what was done on this cross, this is what it will last forever. This is everlasting. the sacrifice paid for our sins to give us eternal life, a life where we can have life everlasting with God, not separated from him, not stuck with our own deficient self, but a life with one who is loving and kind and merciful. That is everlasting. Take some time to realize that you are everlasting. God designed people to live forever. Adam and Eve sinned, so they had to face death. We all will face the first death. But with the cross, we have a choice, and we can choose to live and not experience the second death. The things that are everlasting, you can't see them. Sometimes it's the words that come out of your mouth. Sometimes it's the people in your life. When you see someone, they are everlasting. Remember how the people that you come around, God's got a plan for them, and you can be part of it. And what you say, what you do, how you treat people, that can be everlasting. That can last forever. So we only live once. Think about the disciples. They gave it their all. They weren't afraid of death by stoning. They weren't afraid of demonic resistance. They weren't afraid of putting their flesh down so their spirit could be strong. They were successful in life by doing two things. They heard God's word, and they obeyed it. They heard God's word, and they obeyed it. Consider for me for a moment about how to utilize your life to the best. I find it amazing that God made us with our own internal light. Proverbs 20:27, it says, "The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart." We wouldn't have a chance, but the Lord gives us a light. The spirit of man is like, he equips us. Here's your spirit. It's a lamp to find what is in you. It searches all the inner depths of the heart. It finds, oh, what are my motives? Why do I do the things that I do? I don't even know what my heart is made of. We find our hearts doing deceitfully wicked things that, well, I don't want to do that, but I did it. And that's what this light of the lamp of the Lord is. It shines in us and shows we are inadequate. And it shows I need something. I need something that's going to point, that can last forever. I need something that shines that light and takes away and cleans it out and gives me a true heart, takes out the rocky, stony heart and gives us a heart of flesh, gives us the heart of God. It's like God built us with our own flashlights. Our spirit is the means by which our hearts are revealed. And when God turns on the light of revelation, we see our shortcomings. We see our need for him and the path we ought to take. So let God reveal the things in your life that should be addressed. That heart, our heart, it's the innermost being. It's the place where the impact on eternity starts. We eventually speak the things that are in our heart, which will either kill or revive us and those around us, and it has the potential for an everlasting impact. Let's look at a couple verses on that, three verses on that. Luke 6:45 says, "A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." Proverbs 8:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What you speak matters, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Let's put these verses together. So we see from the heart, the mouth speaks. From the tongue, there is life that can be produced. And words of life from God produce faith. So when the eternal God is in the depths of us and in our hearts, our speech will reflect life. And those who hear these words and receive them in faith will find the way of life everlasting. So not only can we find God and experience that life everlasting, but he will eventually use us to point the way of life everlasting to others. We are indicators of his glory. We are the ones who the world sees and they say something is different. They don't do what everyone does. Why? And it's because God says, I want you to do this. And people will notice and they will find me. We are everlasting beings pointing to an everlasting God. We can partner with God to not only receive everlasting life, but also to reveal that pathway of life everlasting. So consider again the statement that only things done for Christ will last. 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 13 says, "For no other foundation can any lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is." We must, first of all, make Jesus our foundation. The life we build will last when it is intentional and eternally fireproof. And that's when it's on Jesus, on the Word of God. What kind of work can we do that will be worthwhile? Time you spend training your children is an everlasting investment. The people who have come to Christ because they noticed your lifestyle is a witness that reaches into everlasting. The Bible studies you've taught will touch people's hearts and give everlasting results. The needs you have met when demonstrating the love of Christ represents his everlasting provision. Whenever there's a nudge where you know, I ought to do this, sometimes that is the Lord nudging you to do things. And when you do them, it's something everlasting. What we do for Christ will last. The work we do when we are in Christ and he is in us reaches into the eternal. Christ wants not only to fill you with his Holy Spirit, but he wants to guide us with his Spirit and work through us with his Spirit. Without the Spirit of God, we are this physical shell. We need the life of God in us. We need something everlasting to partake in this body so that we can live with the one who is everlasting. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine." This is Jesus speaking. "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Does anyone believe that? Without Jesus, you can do nothing? That can be hard to rationalize. Oh, I can take out the garbage without God. I can make my own decisions. Do something significant. I can build something. I can do that without God. I can do that all on my own. I can eat the meals I choose and feel my belly, and I don't need God for that. Well, my perspective on this verse personally is, without me, Jesus, you can do nothing of real value. Sure, without Jesus, he'll let you do something that you can do. But without Jesus, you can do nothing of real value. When you have Jesus, then there's value in what you do. Imagine everything you've done in your own power counts for nothing. Like, all my effort and time is worthless if I don't abide in Christ and let him bear fruit in me. 100 of my day is scrap if I did it without Christ. Oh, how important it is every day to invite Christ to be part of our day. When we don't, we have something that's just going to fade in a matter of time. It might even last for a few generations. But that's when we do it. When we are with Jesus, then we can do something that lasts. When we are allowing God to do something in our lives and in our families' lives, he can make it last forever. He's the one who made promises to David, and that's why his kingdom lasted. Other kings that did it their way, all we have are stories to learn from of what not to do from them. How important it is to every day invite Christ to be part of it. Take the time to dwell in his presence. Dedicate time. Do it regularly. Do it always. And it's true. What has lasted by man that lived 500 years ago? Nothing physical can be preserved for eternity. But the prayers that have been prayed, the souls that have been reached, the lives that have been changed, those have real value, everlasting value. The words of God that came through prophets did not die when they physically died. They lasted hundreds of years. They've lasted thousands of years until the promised time came and God made those words come to life. Let me leave you with a couple more pieces of practical advice on how to abide in Christ. Because when we're connected with him, we are tapped into that source. He can give us that life. When we're a limb cut off of the tree, we're dead. We're not going to last. And that's why life is short. But when you connect to God, there is an eternal life that awaits us. So first of all, be familiar with his word and live according to it. Read it, study it, memorize it, think about it, talk about it, live it. Also, second one, take time to rest in his presence. Rest is important. So my friend that I told you about that was in a constant state of work needed to change something. Some of us, like me, can be unsatisfied with ourselves if we're not productive. Anyone feel guilty when they just sit down for a while? I've been there. But if we're always got to be doing something, we probably have a problem. God didn't take the seventh day to clean up his tools. On day seven, he created everything. Day one through six, created it all. Day seven, okay, now we're going to clean up, organize, put all the tools away. No, it says he rested. It's important. It's important to wait on the Lord. Simply sit close to him. How else will we hear his voice? How else will we feel his spirit? How else will he invest in us? Third, recognize those special moments where faith can operate. So there are short moments when you may interact with someone who has a hunger for God. There's a window of time when God wants to move, and recognize it and take advantage of it. Live in the moment that God has placed in front of you. There have been times where I said, I wished I would have prayed for that person. I wished I would have said something and given a little more nugget of truth to someone who I saw some faith in. I saw God working on them. And then the last one I have for is praise God through it all. He is always worthy. Keep in awe of God. What you do, or when you do what God intends to be done on earth, it will be everlasting. It will be everlasting. The unseen things in this life are everlasting things, we learned. Our lives are short. We only have one on this earth. Let's make it count. God searches within our hearts. We can find everlasting life and share that pathway with others. Make Jesus your foundation and build something everlasting on him. The only time you make progress eternally is with God and abide in Christ. If we could all stand. This message should strike something deep, something beyond what we see. And it's that need for God and for God to step in. If you have received his Spirit And you know God moved, and I felt him come in. I saw the evidence of his spirit come upon me, and it has transformed my life. Then continue to submit to that spirit whenever he nudges you every day, so that you can build up on that foundation of Jesus and have some structure that will withstand the fire. And if you have not experienced something supernatural that you knew was from God, then I would ask, come forward. There are people here who want to pray over you. God wants to give his Holy Spirit, something everlasting to someone who has only had the temporary. God wants to give a Holy Spirit, something that's pure when things have not been so pure. They might look good on the outside, but inside there's emptiness. Because God built us as a temple to live in. We are the structure that God wants to reside in. And when God's not there, it's going to fall apart. You ever seen abandoned homes? They just deteriorate, fall apart. But when there's someone in there, caring for it, loving it, sweeping out the corners, it's bright, welcoming, shining, and that's what I want all of us to be. So if you feel that nudge, just come forward, and God will honor that faith. He wants to pour out his spirit. Let's lift him up right now.
A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb.
Would you just take a moment in prayer right now?
And all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. All have gone before us, and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are
sing holy forever. This is everlasting praise.
If you've been forgiven, and if you've been redeemed,
anybody forgiven and redeemed in this room?
Forever to the Lamb.
We're going to sing a song forever to the Lamb.
If you walk in freedom, and if you bear his name, sing the song forever to the Lamb. We'll sing the song forever and amen.
Let your worship go up.
And just